League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We got something for the real ones today, for the real ones. And I appreciate that this has become part of our brand, at least the brand of this show. Anytime we have a giveaway that has anything to do with comic books, they come to this show to give it away. I appreciate that being the brand. And we got some for you guys. If you're like a Kate McLean, who's the chef over at Tony's, who listens to this show quite a bit, or maybe you're just filtering over from John and Lance, and hey, at some point you're going to turn away. You shouldn't turn away if you want tickets to the Fantastic Four screening next week. It'll be next Wednesday. We're going to give away a four-pack of tickets, so stay locked in for that. We also are going to give a $100 gift card, a Visa gift card, along with that advanced screening ticket. So if you want to see the next installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, stick with us. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets at some point. So I'm happy to be able to give that away. Last night in baseball, I think baseball got what they wanted. They got an entertaining product. They've got moments where Clayton Kershaw is telling Cal Raleigh's dumper to suck it in the dugout as he's mic'd up. And then they got a swing off to decide the end of the All-Star game, which the National League won. I don't know if things could have gone better, except the fact that all their major stars were gone. Like, the guys who started got on private planes after their couple innings and at-bats and headed on out maybe to vacation for a couple days or into the city where they're going to be playing next. So I don't know what the rules are, if they could have just brought those guys back after missing time. I imagine they could have. If you're going to use a swing off to determine a winner, you could probably pull some guys back in who had already exited the game. But they didn't have that opportunity because those guys are gone. So a roundup of Kyle Schwarber, who is the epitome of a guy who would thrive in that situation. Looks like a guy who would be playing competitive softball at 45 years old if he so chose. And he came up big, so as big as you can in that type of environment. And the NL wins. And we move on. They did the recreation of the Hank Aaron home run. That was pretty cool. So I think baseball got what they wanted. Maybe if the stars had hung around, and I would not be surprised if they kind of invoked that next time around where, hey, guys, just in case we have this made-for-TV moment where we get a swing off, we would rather have Ohtani out there than someone else. Hey, Shohei, we're going to need you to stick around. Aaron Judge, we're going to need you to stick around just in case. You guys can't hang out until the game is pretty much in hand. Like, I get it. You guys want to get out of here. Maybe wait to the seventh inning, and if the game's out of hand, you can head on home. If not, we need you to hang out. I wouldn't be surprised if they asked their star players to hang out just in case. How many of those guys would want to get involved? How many of them would want to get involved in a swing off? Who's to say? But they didn't get that opportunity. So it was the likes of, and it was very funny, because Brent Rooker was involved, and he quote tweeted something that Jeff Passan said, because Jeff Passan pointed out who they could have had, like Aaron Judge and Kyle Raleigh, Vladimir Guerrero against Shohei Ohtani, Pete Alonso, and Kyle Schwarber. Instead, It was Brent Rooker, Jonathan Aranda, Randy Arozarena, noted Astro killer, versus Pete Alonso, Kyle Schwarber, and Kyle Stowers. A little less star power, I would say, particularly when I believe you have a Marlin out there. So, one of the more anonymous team in anonymous teams in baseball had their representative in the swing off. Could have gone better for baseball in that regard, but everything else I think worked out just well, worked out just fine. So the All-Star game is over. The Astros don't return to play until Friday, and we'll see them in a relatively important series against the Mariners coming out of the All-Star break. So I said baseball pretty much got what they wanted. They got some funny moments. They got a compelling game, and then they got their swing off. What they also wanted was more eyes on the broadcast. I guess we'll find out ratings later today if they aren't already out. AJ, were you one of those eyes on the All-Star game?
No.
So they didn't get you.
I said, no, I watched some of the highlights, but yeah, no, definitely
they
not
They didn't
live.
Get the 20-something that they're looking for. Not even the swing. Did you even know the swing off was a possibility?
No, I didn't. And I saw something about that. I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know how well that was promoted. I don't know what they reached into to make sure people saw that, what algorithms they hit. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people, unless you're really locked in on new All-Star game rules, knew that was how a game was going to be determined as opposed to extra inning. So the baseball's trying. We know they're doing that. They're trying to find ways to make their game more interesting. And we got a prime example of that yesterday. And I think for the most part, it kind of worked out for them. Except the most important part, they couldn't convince a non-baseball fan to watch their showcase event. So they still got to try. They still got to try things. In some cases, some people you're just not going to get. That's just how it's going to be. And I get it. Some people have the bandwidth for football and basketball. Maybe they're soccer fans. Maybe they got a particular show they want to watch, and they're not going to spend a night in July watching baseball. There were far more people who didn't think like that not so long ago, and baseball's trying to win those people back. But hey, you can't win them all, and AJ's in the category of you're not ever going to get me, it seems like.
I'm a casual. I watch the Astros a lot during the playoffs.
Yeah, right? I think that's how a lot of people ingest baseball. The local team will watch them. Like Sunday Night Baseball doesn't have an appeal to me. It used to when I was a kid. I used to care about a game between two teams I rarely get to see. Now, if I really wanted to see a team play, I could see them. There are legal ways. There are not so legal ways. I can see whoever I want to see play. So watching them on ESPN on Sunday night ain't that big of a deal. With baseball tonight being gone, one of the other things that drew me in, I remember if I use nostalgia as a play here, because that's what baseball likes to do. I remember in the summer, me and my cousins, we would just sit down and watch baseball tonight. Now, as you get older, you get different priorities. Baseball tonight doesn't exist anymore, but I think it was helpful for the product, particularly on ESPN. It's just gone, so they got to find different ways, and still working on you, AJ. We'll see what they can do next year to see if they get you. I wonder what they could do. Like, some sports use streamers, like the NFL will have streamers at the draft. Would baseball leaning into streamers, would that get you? Do you even care about streamers?
I really don't even watch streamers like that. So
yeah,
that's not.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm just looking. I'm just the idea man for baseball.
Maybe like if they tied in, like say for example, next year Spider-Man: Brand New Day comes out, they have the commercial beforehand. Maybe something like that. That's one way.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if they guarantee the cast of of that movie is going to be there. Maybe they'll get you. Speaking of that, it only popped into my mind because I think one of the new casts is one of the members of the Stranger Things cast. I think she's going to play Peter Parker's daughter in that movie, Mayday Parker, Sadie Sink.
Yeah, Sadie Sink.
The Stranger Things teaser came out today.
Yeah, I saw
that. It's pretty dramatic. Look, they did a great job with season four. Season five looks like it's in that same regard. Now Millie Bobby Brown's kind of a superhero. She's like flying in the air, I saw. Or maybe that's just a jump. I'm not sure, as her powers grow in the final season. So we are now, I think it comes out Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like weekend. In two parts. Thanksgiving and like.
It's three parts. Thanksgiving, right. then Christmas, and then New Year's Eve for the finale. So that show's been around since like 2016, I think. So 9 years. And of course, when you're using child actors, everyone's just grown as hell now. So we'll see. Like the teenagers that were to start the show are now in their 30s. You know, in fact, it's funny that because just how time works, the adults are the ones who haven't aged a day, it feels like, while all the kids are like, all right, you're grown. You used to be doing the floss dance, and now I don't know what you're doing as a 20-something-year-old, but hey, it's coming back for its final installment. I ain't with it, though. Not Stranger Things. I'll watch it. I've watched all the seasons. You're gonna stretch a show over nine years and give me 5 seasons? What are we doing? I appreciate the efforts, but you're treating this thing like a major motion picture. And the money Netflix has put into it, understood. But we got to pick it up. Pick up the pace. You know those kids don't want, well, now they're not kids. Unless they ain't got other work. Do you think they really want to be locked in for 9 years, spending 8 months in hot-ass Georgia to film the show? Either way, it's coming back. The cast is done with the show. I guess we'll start seeing them popping up everywhere as we get closer and closer to the series or the season, or not even the season, the series finale, the final season of that show here in a couple months. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in on the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. Also, remember, we got those Fantastic Four tickets giveaway. So if you want to see that movie, you want to see Pedro Pascal and the rest, we're going to have that giveaway for you a little bit later today. When we come back, we'll move away from baseball as now that the All-Star game is pushed aside, we have a couple of days before the Astros are back in town. We'll get into how much it takes to run a successful college football program because people are spending big. And there's a funny thing about Texas Tech because they're involved. They're one of the top spenders in football, and they have to pay a tax. And I'll tell you what that tax is when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So far, I have not heard of any other coach besides Sark being introed with the wrong fight song. You missed it at SEC Media Days. Sark was getting this long intro. I don't know if it was from Greg Sankey or not, but he was pretty much reading off a biography, it felt like, talking about Sark winning a Broyles Award, his family, who welcomed a new child very recently, and then the Texas A&M wore him, played, and then Sark walked up and didn't make reference to it. So I don't know if that's happened anywhere else during the SEC. I'm not sure if Kalen DeBoer walked up there with the Auburn song playing. I guess it's just an A&M thing. I'm sure the two MP3s or whatever, whoever was handling the AV stuff, I'm sure those two things were right next to each other. And they clicked on A&M and Sark just walked up, didn't say anything, and kept it moving. So I haven't seen that anywhere else, but there is a list of programs who are spending the most in college football. And you can imagine that Texas is on the list. Texas is going to spend big. When we were on the air yesterday, they got a 5-star recruit. And because everything can be above board, we can assume that kid was given a handsome bag by Texas, pretty big one, to join them as a 5-star. They beat out some of the top schools in the country to get Tyler Atkinson, and they're not done. I think they had a 5-star decommit from Georgia, 4 or 5-star decommit from Georgia, and then picked Texas, and they're in line for another big-time player, a running back in this case, Derek Cooper. I think he's making his announcement in the next couple of days. So Texas, not surprisingly, recruiting pretty well. But as far as the top spenders in college football, they come out as number one. Surprisingly, Texas Tech, that is number two. Now they are up in their NIL game. Texas Tech wants to compete. I'm sure they see an avenue in the Big 12 to being one of the forces in the Big 12. There is no one established by the recent Arizona State conference title win. A traditionally non-Big 12 school just won one. So there's room for a Big 12 school to make their way, and Tech is trying to do that by outspending everyone in the conference. You don't see, as I look at it, there is not another Big 12 school on the list. It goes from Tech to Ohio State to Oregon, A&M, Miami, USC, Michigan, Tennessee, and Auburn. So you got the West Coast representatives in Oregon and USC that just happen to be playing in the Big 10, only one ACC school, and they're in Miami. And, of course, A&M has deep pockets. So they join Tennessee, Auburn, and Texas as the SEC schools. Surprisingly, Georgia and Alabama aren't on the list. LSU, not on the list as well. Those are schools who in the past were considered bag schools. If you don't know what that means, is when things weren't above board with NIL, those schools were accused quite a bit of handing out bags to kids to get them to come. But when it comes to NIL, they don't even make the top 10. It doesn't surprise me that Auburn wants to spend. They are always reaching to be relevant. And they'll hit that mark, it feels like, every 5 or 6 years or so. The last time Auburn is relevant now, they've been on a bit of a drought. What are we talking about? Is it as far back as the Nick Marshall teams, the Gus Malzahn, Nick Marshall teams? The last time Auburn's relevant, last time I think they've been in a national picture, if I remember correctly. But them, Tennessee, Michigan, they kind of finish off the bottom of the top 10. Tech is in there at 2, and I mentioned going to break that Tech has to pay a bit of a tax, and that tax is, well, you live in Lubbock, so it costs more to get players. I get it. We talked about it yesterday with Nick Saban, who is rumored to be someone looking to come back into college football, and Texas Tech was put on the list of teams or programs that should be interested and maybe could get him. I asked a question. Would Nick Saban want to spend the final run of his career in Lubbock? Does West Texas seem like it suits one of the stars of the game? If they're going to spend that way, maybe, but they got to spend extra. I'm not surprised. Look, one college town could be great for you. Another college town could suck. Just depends on your sensibilities. But when you start to look at the college towns surrounding Tech in these rankings, Texas, Austin's major capital city of the state of Texas, but still kind of in some ways centered around the university. Ohio State, another one of those in Columbus. Oregon, Eugene, and obviously they got their Nike money. A&M, been a college station, is fine. Miami is actually Coral Gables is a small city where they're located, but of course they have metropolitan Miami and South Florida in general. USC, LA, Michigan, Ann Arbor, one of those college towns. Tennessee and Auburn, so several college towns on the list, but I didn't see that those college towns are having to pay extra. Tech is the one who has to, and this comes from Pete Nakos from On3. And by the way, this isn't a forensic accounting of what all these teams are spending. It's a bit of a survey that he did, asking generally around the country who's paying up for their program. And Tech makes the list at 2, and they probably make the list at 2 because they want to compete and they got to pay extra. Maybe normally Tech is probably spending at a level that doesn't push them to 2, but if it's real that they got to convince kids to come to Lubbock and that's why it costs more, then you're going to rise up the rankings. Hey, Tech, do what you got to do. You want to be a power in college football, pay the no one wants to live in Lubbock tax, I guess. For people who went to Tech, I'm sure it's a great place. But you got to convince college football players that it's a great place. And the only way you do that is to get them in. And if you're a high school recruit, even in the state of Texas, when you have a lot of options, Tech's got to spend, got to pay up. It's usually the you suck tax, like New England paid that this year. They gave a lot of money to a lot of players to improve the quality of their roster. They probably overpaid for several of them, but you're not the New England Patriots those guys grew up watching when they're in college or even in high school. You stink. So you got to find a way to get people into your organization, and you maybe got to pay a little bit more. Tech is doing that same thing. Eric, I see you. You want to get in. We'll get to Eric. Anyone else want to join us? You can, 713-780-3776. That's the number, and you can call that number. Let's say 1050. And I'll remind you again, but at 1050, if you want those Fantastic Four tickets, it'll be for caller 4. But just to give you a little run-up, 1050, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to the screening of the new Fantastic Four movie. You'll get a $100 gift card along with that from Visa. So 1050, you'll be caller 4, just so you know. And I'll remind you as we continue to go on. But Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. It's me and AJ till noon. We will be back. Eric, we'll get to you here. The numbers on tech were, according to one of the people talked to, was they have to pay about 30% more because of their location. It don't matter once they're on the field, but just cost you a bit more to get those 4 and 5 stars to buy into what Joey McGuire is selling in Lubbock. Eric, I generally like to guess in my head what you're going to talk about, but I got nothing because there was no Astros. There was only the All-Star game. I don't even know that you watched the All-Star game. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Great show. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good.
Yeah, I heard Luis Garcia. He did pretty good. I got 2 out of 3 batters the other day. And also, how do you feel about the beef between RG3 and Shaq? And do you prefer tight ends or Twin Peaks? I'll hang up and listen.
I always like to start back to front, just so, or last comment to first, because the last one's always the easiest one to get through. I've never been to either place. I've been to a Hooters like twice in my life. The first time I went to Hooters is when we first moved from California to Texas. My dad took me to a Hooters, and I got a pregnant waitress. And I thought to myself, this is what they were selling all this time? What's it? I mean, it's fine. It's life. She's pregnant. So she came over in a polo shirt, and maybe she was wearing like longer shorts, like maybe black ones or something like that. And I thought to myself, yeah, what's the big deal about Hooters? It was the middle of the afternoon, so it was not a time for one of the waitresses to make a lot of money. There weren't a lot of people in at the time, but I was like, this is what I've been hearing about. Cool. I hope that woman and her child are doing great. It's just my first impression. The other time I went to Hooters, it wasn't even for wings. It was for this job back when we were still 1560. I was doing a site survey back when we did those things. And what a site survey is, you have to figure out, the technology has changed, but at the time you had to figure out if they had a hard line that we could connect to for internet so we could broadcast the show. And so I was testing the equipment, making sure it all worked. And one of the servers there came to me and said, "Oh, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just getting this thing set up for the radio station." They were very interested. "Oh, what radio station do you work for?" And I named 1560, and they're like, "What's that?" It was, "Oh, it's a sports station." They became immediately less interested in a radio station that talked about sports. They suspected that maybe I was setting up for maybe someone from KRBE to show up, or whoever, or the Box, whatever it might be. Instead, it was for whatever the afternoon show was at the time, testing the line. And they were like, okay, whatever. Oh, John Harris and John Pendergast are going to do a show. Whatever, we don't care. So those are my two times at Hooters. Not a lot of fond memories. Luis Garcia, I think that's what he said. Cool. Yeah, he apparently is not as close as Christian Javier. I think that's what I saw. I don't remember. It's a lot of Astros pitchers are always hurt, and they're always in some type of rehab assignment. But I saw that both those guys are making their way back, and I think Garcia is further away. I'm not sure about that, but good. I'm glad that he did strike out 3. They're going to be depended on, at least one of them. Can we get one of them back for the stretch run? And Chandler Room has an article in The Athletic about the second half storylines that we can get to. And he said one other thing, and now I've forgotten. That's generally the case. It was the first one, or the second one. I just don't remember what it was.
Oh, I think he said something about the Shaq and...
Shaq and RG3B. If you don't know what's going on, Shaq and Angel Reese have a relationship as far as their LSU people. I guess he might be even considered a bit of a mentor for her.
I think Reebok, too.
The Reebok thing. There it is. And also, I think he's been on her podcast. So there's something there where he might be taking her under his wing. I'm not sure the extent of that relationship. And we talked about it late in the morning show. If you missed it, it's just RG3 doing things that make you think Rob Parker was right. I've seen a lot of that. Like, we buried Rob Parker way too soon. It's a lot of that from... Let's just say from the community. Let's just say that. If you know, you know. If you don't, so be it. It's not that important, but it's just out there. But what happened was something I had not seen, maybe because I don't spend the type of time on the internet that he does, at least on Twitter. There was a a cover, a mocked up cover of NBA 2K26. It was a mocked up cover that Ada Reese is going to be on the cover of the game, the actual cover. But instead of that, they put what you could call it a monkey or ape, whatever, in her jersey on the cover. RG3 used it as a chance for engagement, said, hey, me and Angel Reese have our problems, but this is going too far. Of course, he used that mock cover to elevate whatever he wanted to talk about and also push a racist thing out there. And he took rightful criticism for it. He also used the Reese family in the tweet, I believe. He said that, I don't know if it was in that tweet or another one, he said that he had had conversations with Angel Reese's people. I believe her mother reached out and said, no, you have not. Stop lying. So he's caught a lot of that. And Shaq's just the most recent one to tell him to really just cut the crap. Will Shaq really punch RG3? Will they ever be in the same place where it could happen? All of that feels like just internet talk. I don't even know what podcast Shaq did it on, but Eric heard it, so now we're talking about it. So it did its job, but I don't think anyone's punching anyone. But yeah, if we're just talking about stupid stuff on the internet, RG3 is certainly in the middle of quite a bit of it. And now Shaq has decided if he keeps talking, he's going to get punched in the face. Okay, that's the breakdown. I don't think much of the rivalry is just talking. I don't think much of the beef. I'm far more interested in this as a Nikki beef, just because I think it's funnier. Then, because I don't have all that much energy to talk about RG3. I mean, loved him at Baylor, but other than that, since his rookie year with, at the time, the Redskins and now the Washington Commanders, what's he done other than be a somewhat average analyst on college football games? Okay, enough. All right, we're a couple of minutes away from a break, so we'll hold off on that. So. Thanks, Eric, for the call. Appreciate that. And also, we're about 10 minutes away from giving away those Fantastic Four tickets. So if you want a chance to go watch the first family of Marvel, we're going to give you the opportunity. It'll be for next Wednesday. You get the advanced screening, and you're going to get a gift card from Visa as well. So stay locked in for that. Okay, before we go, since I just mentioned Fantastic Four, AJ, did you see that the Superman movie is spurring an interest in adopting dogs? Like since the movie came out, thanks to crypto, over a 513% uptick in people asking or trying to look into adopting a dog.
I wouldn't expect the film to be a launching point for that, yeah. Especially because crypto was so like freaking wild. Like, no,
that's a dog that needs training.
Right.
So, but people... Apparently, I don't even know how that correlates. I don't know if you can go, you went from searching Superman or watching Superman and buying your tickets to immediately thinking you might want a dog. But since the movie came out, 513% increase in interest in adopting dogs. So, Mike Francesa, do you hate dogs? Do you hate the thought of adopting dogs? If you missed it, we played, on the morning show, it got played, a Mike Francesa ripping the Superman movie because he thought it was dumb. He just wanted to see Superman, and he asked where the dog came from. Well, the dog has been part of Superman lore crypto for years and years and years in the comic books. I don't think it's made an appearance ever in a movie, and maybe that's how he ingests his Superman material. So he was upset, and noted dog lover Kirk Herbstreit retweeted or quote tweeted it and agreed. And we know Kirk will feature his dogs on television. Do you hate dogs too, Kirk Herbstreit? How about you just say thank you to Superman for increasing the likelihood of people adopting dogs, even if crypto is the worst dog ever, just a badass dog. But at least he eventually helped in Superman's final battle. But so there it is. James Gunn's Superman, maybe getting some dogs off the street. And I'm sure it's a personal thing for him because that dog is at least it's modeled after his dog. The way it looks, not the way it acts. Because if James Gunn's dog acts like that, then that's a bad dog owner. Shout out to Supergirl, who he's already promoting. He tweeted something from his account of the Supergirl movie that'll be out, I think, next year. So always, you use the success of Superman for your next thing. And that's how kind of how you build a universe. So there that is. I hope Matt Francesa knows that Superman is more than a movie just to entertain. It can save a dog near you. We'll see. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with a story and some audio of how you don't treat a legend. Like this, it's from the UK, so they're going to have that accent, which makes it a little bit more feel a little bit more upper crust than it actually is. But it involves one of our legends, or at least and one of their legends, and the mistreatment of her. We'll get to that when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Caller 4 in 3 minutes, 10:50, will win a 4-pack of tickets to the advanced screening for next Wednesday's showing of Fantastic Four. It'll be at the Regal Edwards Marquee. You also get a $100 gift card along with that. It's brought to you by Marvel Studios, the Fantastic Four First Steps. It officially premieres July 25th, but you're going to get that advanced screening next Wednesday. Caller 4 at 10:50. Caller 4 at 10:50. 713-780-3776 is the number for that. So stay with us. Just a couple minutes away, you get your chance to go see Pedro Pascal and Vanessa Kirby and Joseph Quinn and the rest in Fantastic Four. Miserrigation. No, I have not heard about Bambi the Reckoning. I don't think I'm going to watch Bambi the Reckoning on July 26th. It's just a horror movie with Bambi in it. Bambi is apparently a killer deer, so the deer gets to win this time around. So thank you for that recommendation. Maybe I'll bring it up to Michael on Friday, see what he says. Keith, let's get to you. You got a college football question. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on. Want to continue the conversation from the first show. I truly think Vanderbilt can go 10-2 this year, at worst 9-3.
At worst 9-3.
They're going to be 5-0. They're going to be going 5-0 headed into the Bama game. They beat Bama last year. Milroe's gone. DeBoer's on the hot seat after a year. They could win that game. They could be 6-0, okay? And then they've got Tennessee at the end. They don't have a quarterback. Kentucky, Missouri, they should win those games. Say they lose to Texas and LSU. Who's not going to lose to Texas and LSU? And then it's a coin flip. They don't have – there's no Georgia. There's no Ole Miss. There's no Florida on the schedule. Their quarterback is proven. They beat Bama last year. Their coach is good. They've got a renovated stadium. They've got the city of Nashville behind them. They could be 9-3, 10-2, and in the college football playoff. Like last year, Arizona State and Boise State got in the playoff. They didn't win a playoff game. You know, SMU got in the playoff. Vanderbilt with an SEC schedule, 9-3, 10-2. You know, Texas is number one most likely, so they'll lose that one, sure. But like three lost teams can get in the playoff, two lost teams. You know, they're going to have a tough one against on the road against they're going to beat Virginia Tech because they lose games early all the time. Old Dominion, like five times. They're going to beat Utah State. They've got some cupcakes. They got a tough one, I think, against looking at the schedule. Now, Kentucky and Auburn are beatable. Those are beatable games. Tennessee's quarterback's gone. Like, why are we sleeping on Auburn?
Vanderbilt, thank you, Keith. They're not winning. They're not going 10-2. Yes, you can continue to lean on they beat Bama last year, but that was a home game. Good for them for doing it. They don't have enough depth to go 10-2. That's part of the issue. Sure, on a game to game basis, you can take Vandy to win a game, but over the course of a season. To win 10 in the SEC, considering what Clark Lee is doing and where they are, I ain't buying it. There's too much on their schedule, and some of it has to do with when games are being played and where they're being played. Look, Diego Pave is cool, and we can talk about who they beat, but what about who they lost to? And it's and they're a nice story, and maybe they get back to a bowl. But if you want to go into it, really, let's look at who they lost to last year when you're making that comp. They lost – they barely beat Kentucky by seven. They were in a dogfight with Ball State. I'll give them credit. They pushed Texas. They only lost that by three. But we got games where they were in – they lost to Georgia State last year. So as much as the – as much as that went well for Vandy last year and they have the highlight – of the Bama win, that was a down Bama team. It was Kalen Bohr's first year. So I'm going to bet on Bama being better in Kalen Bohr's second year than they were in their first. He may be on a pseudo hot seat because he does have the Vandy loss, but Alabama's going to be one of the best teams in the SEC. They got a quarterback question they have to answer. They've got a couple options. I just don't think Vandy has enough depth to go 10-2. They're going to get beat up enough that And Diego Pavia's game is one where he's going to get beat up. He's not a classic dropback passer. They're going to run him quite a bit, particularly in these big games. And how is he going to hold up over the course of a season? If Vanderbilt wins eight games, that should be considered a success. Look, if they win 10 games, shout out to you for calling your shot. But I'm not rolling. I'm not rolling with Vandy winning that many games. I think we have our winner, or at least we have someone on hold who's going to be the winner for the Final Four, the Fantastic Four tickets. So good to give those out. We'll be talking about that movie as we get closer and closer to watching. I wonder if Michael is going to get a screening. He got one for Superman. So if the list for DC is very similar to the list for Marvel, maybe Michael Carroll will have a chance to be at an advanced screening and be able to see it. He'll give us a review when he does his segment with us on Friday. So there it is. But I do appreciate the conversation, Keith. College football, we're getting ever closer. We had Big 12 Media Days last week. SEC's their Media Days are ongoing. I think the ACC might be next week. So call your shot with Vanderbilt. If anyone else has a shot they want to call, we welcome that. And that's the great part about it being July. Keith can be right for several weeks into the season until Vandy drops her third game. His 10-2 prediction can be right. When I look at the schedule right now, at Vautech in their second game, then they got to go to South Carolina. Then they have the aforementioned Georgia State, which they barely beat now. At least that's a home game. They got Alabama, LSU, Missouri, all in a row. If I told you a team who had championship aspirations had to play at Alabama, home to LSU, home to Missouri, and then at Texas in a four-game stretch without a bye, you would tell me that's a tough stretch. If that team goes 3-1, that's good for that team. And we expect the Vanderbilt Commodores to roll through that and only drop the Texas game? Cut it out, Keith. I've played enough CFB 26 to know Vanderbilt ain't got that in them. Just by looking at the ratings of the roster, I'm going to tell you, Vanderbilt not expected to have enough to go through that gauntlet. But you're right. I'll say you're right, and probably until mid-October. Now that's the Alabama, LSU, Missouri stretch. Maybe they'll only have two losses as they approach that stretch, and we'll see how they come out on the other side. But hey, call your shot, Keith. You're more than welcome to do it. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get to the second hour of the show. If you want to join in, certainly the number is 713-780-3776. So certainly you can call in and join us. I'm going till noon. Paul Gallant follows me. And then, of course, Killer Bees. So we'll be back.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.